Hi, I'm Mel Majoros. I am a 9-year cancer survivor. My blog, The Cancer Warrior, is one of the top 10 breast cancer blogs, according to blogs.com. I'm here to bring a fresh, upbeat perspective to a topic that to some may seem scary. A positive mental attitude got me through my cancer, and I hope to share that with you. Good friend of mine, Rebecca Katt, she's super, super busy, but I was able to just snag her, grab her down, and say, I need to talk to you about a couple things that's going on. So how are you today, Rebecca?
I'm wonderful, Mel. I'm great. Thanks for making the time to have me.
Well, thanks for making the time to have me as well. So you have a couple things going on, and one that I'm very excited about, because I didn't tell you this in my email, but my dad used to call me the soup queen, because I would always have soup for lunch, and I would just love to make soup. And you have a new book called Clean Soups.
You're called the soup queen?
That's what my dad called me, because I would always have soup for lunch.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy? And when I saw that,
I'm really super honored. I've been called the soup whisperer.
Oh, I like that.
This book, I have to say, I'm a major soup lover.
Yes.
And of course, you know, the cover of the book happens to be the magic mineral broth.
Yes.
Which is, so you can only imagine how excited I was, because that's a 16-year overnight sensation. Finally got a starring role on the cover of a book. And so, you know, the magic mineral broth, mm-hmm. I've been using for the base of my soups for years and years and years.
Yes.
And this book is just like an homage to soup making, where I break it down into like almost a template of exactly how I go about making a soup. And I start with the equipment I use, what I have in my pantry, and then it's like this step-by-step template of how I create the yum. And it even has, if people are interested in this, it even has what I call a 2-day jumpstart cleanse.
Oh.
Instead of a juice cleanse, it's a soup cleanse. It's like we're not juicing, we're souping.
I'm down.
So for those of us who are true soupers, who could eat soup for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, it's a fun weekend. But the premise of the book is really, how can you incorporate soup into your everyday life, especially as the weather gets colder?
Mm-hmm.
Because there is so much nourishment in a pot of soup.
Yes.
It's so nutrient dense. And it's like giving somebody a culinary hug. It's like giving yourself a culinary hug. So to be able to write a book that's just kind of all about the thing that's my favorite thing to cook in the world was really a joy.
Now, how long did it take you to get all the recipes together and that kind of thing?
You know, this book came together fairly quickly. I would say it was about a year, but it's a smaller book than my other book, Children. It's only 60 recipes, and that includes what I call the soup toppers, which are like the finishing touches, mm-hmm. that you can put on the top of a bowl of soup.
Nice.
So maybe it might be a polenta crouton, or maybe it might be like a Moroccan type of pesto, or maybe it's a nut cream, but all the finishing touches. So yeah, and there's a whole section on broths, there's a whole section on blended soups, and then there's a section on what I call traditional soups, which are really soups from all over, you know, from different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of learning how to use herbs and spices, and of course, my books wouldn't be complete without a discussion of how to use fat, acid, salt, and sweet, FASS, mm-hmm. to bring up the yum in every pot of soup. So and I was really lucky because I had a wonderful photographer shoot this book. So the pictures are just, they evoke soup making. They just make you want to eat a lot of soup.
I'm looking at the PDF that you sent me and I'm getting hungry right now. I'm not even joking.
Right, you're right.
I said, I'm getting hungry right now just looking at the pictures because they're fantastic.
Oh my God, I know. They're really off the charts. They're off the charts. So it's a lovely book. It's what I like about this is that it's I feel like it's very accessible for people. And I also think, you know, look, soup is, it's very creative. Mm-hmm. You can improvise. You really can't screw up a pot of soup. There are always ways to get yourself in and out of a pickle when you're making a pot of soup. And there are also strategies of how to make quantities of soup and create a freezer inventory so that you always have like a nice little something in your freezer. And so anyway, it's a tactical book and it's a friendly book. I'm very partial to this book. I know I'm not supposed to have favorites.
Oh, don't tell your second child that. I mean, your first child that, because we'll talk about that
in
a second.
I know. This is the fifth.
The fifth?
This is the fifth child.
Oh, well, don't tell your first four children because they'll be upset. Mother always likes everyone equally. Not really, but okay.
Well, I know. So this is just a little bit different from the other books. And anyway, it was a really fun book to produce. And I think a really fun book for people to have and to give, because I don't know too many people, with the exception of my nephew, who doesn't like soup.
How old is your nephew?
Well, he's 27? Yeah, he's not a soup guy, because when he was young, he got scalded by hot water. So anything really hot, it's like, and he's an amazing cook, but soup is not, it's not his favorite food. But my niece, on the other hand, is like, you know, outrageous. She's a major soup maven. So,
and I think the great thing about your book is, like, a lot of people only have a couple of soups that they know of. Like, you have your clam chowder that you make your minestrone, and then you have your chicken noodle soup. And then pretty much that's what people usually make. And then you have your bean soup, but you have just the whole gamut of different soups that I've never heard of. That just looks up. And then, like I said, I'm going to be making some of these soon for sure, especially blended soups. I think that's pretty interesting. I don't have an immersion blender yet, but I will soon. I mean, look at all this great stuff.
I think there might be one in your future.
I know. There will be, for sure.
Yeah.
So which is your favorite, besides the mineral broth, what was your favorite soup to bring to this book?
Oh, gosh. Now that's hard. God, do I have to name just one?
No, you can name a couple.
Okay. So I have to say, I have to say that obviously I love all the broths in the soup.
Right.
I'm going to say that one of my favorite blended soups in the book is a Moroccan carrot soup.
Mm.
And I love it. It's got a little bit of saffron in it, and it's warm and cozy. And then I top it with this chermoula, and chermoula is kind of a Moroccan pesto.
Mm.
And it's so easy for people to put together that I really love it. Then I also, another one that I really like is the coconut cauliflower soup with ginger and turmeric.
That's got all your healthy cruciferous vegetables and turmeric, and they say turmeric is like
right, and all the anti-inflammatories. Mm-hmm. There you have it. And then of the blended soups, I also love the roasted heirloom tomato soup, but I think for most people, we might have to wait until next year for that one. But then the ones that I really like of the traditional soups is, well, I love a good black bean soup.
Yes.
But the Latin American chicken soup with greens, because it's kind of like a chicken tortilla soup.
Ooh.
But I've used polenta croutons. And actually, in Mexican cooking, we don't think about this, but they consume a lot of greens. And it goes back centuries. And Swiss chard is really, it's hugely popular in Mexican cooking. Mm. So that was a really fun soup. And then I riffed on my Nana's chicken soup, which I grew up with and I'm very intimate with. And I used zucchini noodles instead of the old-fashioned egg noodles that she used to use. And then, let's see, Oh, and another one that I fell in love with, that I experimented with for a while, is the African sweet potato and peanut soup. And it sounds like, really? Like peanuts and sweet potatoes? Are you kidding me? But it's really yummy. It's really off the charts. And then, you see, I'm only supposed to name one.
Well, you can name as many as you want, because I love hearing about soup, like I told you.
I'll tell you what I think my family's all-time favorite, like when I was working on the book, was the clean out the fridge soup. And that, I mean, everybody's got a soup like that.
Oh, yes.
Right? Because it's pretty much, that's what a minestrone is. It's really a minestrone in Italy is, what do you have in your refrigerator?
Yes.
And so anyway, this is just, and what I did was I surveyed everybody on my block and asked them, what do they usually, in soup season, what do they usually have hanging out in the refrigerator that's just about to like go? You know, that's like, if it doesn't go into a pot of soup, you know, within a day, it's right. going to end up in the compost. So that was fun. So that's got everything from carrots and parsnips and onion and celery, and I added quinoa in there, and of course like kale or Swiss chard. Mm-hmm. Anything can go in this soup, and it's kind of got that rich tomato kind of broth to it. And also, I have like little mini meatballs that I have in the book that can really go in any of the soups. So anyway, I'm
so like, you still have them all, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, I pretty much. I think I've just given you like a whole run of show here.
But that's okay. I think the important thing is that you love your soups, and looking through the book, I can see like a lot of different soups that I would try, knowing, you know, like, you know, your family, and when you give this book or buy this book at the store, you know, oh, well, my family would like, maybe not like this one. You know, some people are allergic to peanuts, so obviously that soup wouldn't go, but, you know, I'm a big split pea soup lover. Mm-hmm. Yep. You got that in the book right there.
And I do. I have that smoky split pea soup.
And a lot of other recipes, and they look very easy. And I know a lot of people get cookbooks and you look at them and they're just so intimidating. And the way you set the recipes up, and the instructions on the pages, it's very easy for you to, you know, make with your family, your kids, and this will be a fun project for dinner.
Yes. Yes. And, you know, if you play your cards right, like, I'm a big believer, if people can have stock in their freezer, mm-hmm. their favorite stock. And I have the chapter on broths, right? And
yes.
I have the magic mineral broth. I have a pasture beef bone broth. I've got a chicken stock. I've got a, you know, chicken magic mineral broth. I have an immune broth. I have a coconut Thai broth. But if you were just to make the magic mineral broth, for instance, I have a Venn diagram that shows if you just made the magic mineral broth, you could infuse that magic mineral broth and turn it into a chicken stock, a Thai coconut broth, and a beef bone broth.
Wow.
So, but whatever your favorite kind, everybody's got a way that maybe they like to make stock.
Yes.
But this template will work with any stock, whether it the stocks in the book or just your favorite way of making stock. So if you have stock in your freezer, it's like having gold. Then you're set. Then it only takes like 20 minutes to make a 4-quart pot of soup.
And that's a great idea, because a lot of people don't think about that. And then it's dinner time, and then you got to go to the store, and you got it, you know, if you don't have time to make the stock, you just buy the stuff on the shelf, and it's not as good as your magic mineral broth.
No, it'll work in a pinch.
Right.
But really, the thing about the magic mineral broth, besides the fact that it's really nutrient dense and it's calming, is that it's got that kind of umami, that fifth taste, and it's really from the kombu that's in it, and also the fact that it's got sweet potatoes that are boiled in it. So there's just a lot of umami going on in that pot, and it just gives the soups just another level of depth. And it's so funny because in our neighborhood, there are three of us that make magic mineral broth on my street. So at any given point in time, either my soup sister, my friend Julie, who lives two doors up, or my neighbor Beth, or me, will have magic mineral broth in our freezers.
Awesome.
Just in case.
Your neighbors must love you. Oh, would you like to try some soup? Sure.
Well, it was funny because when I was doing all my recipe testing, my neighbors were getting like quarts of soup.
That's awesome.
At all times of the year. It was like, oh my God. Here she comes again, soup lady.
I love that. And I wonder, do you think any of your neighbors took your internet course, your online course? And just segue right into
that. Well, yes, actually, my friend Julie, she actually did my online course, which is the Cancer Fighting Kitchen course, which is taking my book, The Cancer Fighting Kitchen, and bringing it to life. And in fact, she really ran through that course from the very, like, when we were creating it.
Oh.
Like, she saw it from nothing to something. So anyway, she's been through this course several times, you know, because nothing I do goes out the door without my soup sister looking at it.
Right. So what did she think? I mean, obviously it was good, but did she tweak it a little? I mean, she must have been your guinea pig. So it's probably interesting to see someone who, I mean, she has a, obviously she can cook well since she's your soup sister, but going from being with you in person to being a, doing something over the internet, how was that? Like, you know, how does that work if, you know, explaining it to somebody who, oh, this looks like a cool class to take over the internet?
Interesting, you know? Mm-hmm. There's something, first of all, Julie's in this course because when I'm explaining FAFS, she's taste testing with me. Sorry it wasn't you, Mel.
Oh, that's okay. Next time.
But it was Julie. But yes, how do you translate something like cooking to an online class that you're going to look at on your computer or your iPad? And how are you going to make it engaging and interesting? And there was a bit of a learning curve for sure. But I think what makes it engaging is that this is really the heart and soul of the book is so much about how are you going to get these great foods on your plate? And therefore, it's fun to watch because, you know, you want to show people exactly how you're doing something.
Right.
And when people see it, then they go, oh my gosh, you know, I can do that. I can do that. That's not that hard. Versus sometimes when you open the page of a book, it's just like, oh, really? That many spices? Or,
right. Oh
my God, I'm looking at the ingredient list and you just slam the book closed. But when you're watching somebody, you know, put in the herbs and spices, it's like, oh, well, that's not that big a deal, you know?
And it's an easier class to watch and stuff as opposed to like watching something. I like watching Top Chef where just like they just grab all the stuff that you've never heard of and they just put it in and then they make something amazing where, you know, everything that you have is pretty much something you would have in your refrigerator, pantry, or, you know, something that you've eaten before.
Right. Right. So I don't know, Mel, you would have to tell me when you go through the course, if it's as exciting as Top Chef, but there is something I think when it comes to food.
Oh, yes.
That makes it, it's not like sitting down and watching a lecture.
Right.
You know.
And especially when it's a book that you have, you know, like when you watch these food shows, it's like, okay, well, let's make something that, you know, they make this little tiny piece of whatever. And you're like, oh, well, you're not going to make something fancy and plate it up for the masses. I mean, let's be honest, you will, because that's how you do it. But most people just put it on their plate and enjoy it. But
I don't know. I'm like that. I put it on my plate and enjoy it. I don't go for the masses.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. You may do that for, you know, for your classes, for just for your classes and make it look fancy. But a lot of us just are just like, oh yeah, here we go. And, you know, I think especially when you have the book, you'd be like, oh yeah, like you said, this is easy. This is what I want to learn. And I think, like you were saying before, a lot of people might be intimidated. I don't think they'd be intimidated by your book, but the class, the online course is just a nice addendum or addition to the book where it can help you cook. Maybe you're a little nervous about cooking and you pick up your book and you're like, oh, I might want to try the online course and then check it out and be like, oh, I don't know why I was so upset. I thought I couldn't boil water and here I am making the magic mineral broth. This is crazy.
Oh my gosh, you couldn't be righter. You couldn't be more correct. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I think about food and the seeing and the watching is when you really learn something, you know, this would be like if you were, you know, taking a workshop with me.
Right.
Right. Except that I'm there virtually
right.
in your kitchen. But I think there's something very empowering when you really gain the confidence in the kitchen.
Oh, I agree.
Because food is really, our connection to food has so much to do with our health and well-being.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have a good connection and we feel confident, then we're maybe willing to explore more in the kitchen or broaden our horizons or incorporate foods that maybe we wouldn't have thought about before, or we're more, you know, maybe we'll take a couple of risks that we might not have taken before. So, yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of us learned cooking from watching our parents. My dad was an excellent chef. Cook, I would say, I don't know about chef, but I guess chef for the house, you know, and a lot of people learn from their grandparents, their parents. And, you know, some people like my brother, he didn't really watch, you know, my mom or my dad in the kitchen because, you know, back then that was, I guess, kind of women's work. But, you know, I think this would be an excellent course for him because while he is a good cook, he's not, I don't think he does as much in the kitchen that I do as far as different. You know, now that he has a son, he might do different things, but this would be perfect to have, you know, have his, I think his 13-year-old son and learn how to cook and stuff. Because that's, I mean, this would be perfect for them.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's true. I think there's a whole generation, a couple generations that grew up and didn't have people cooking in the kitchen.
Right.
So it's like a foreign language.
And Whereas you and I mean, I don't know what, I'm assuming kids today learn from their parents and cook in the kitchen. I don't know. There's so many smartphones and tablets and droids and everything. I'm not quite sure how people connect real life anymore, but I think the best, you know what I'm saying? I think the best thing you can learn is like when someone's making something. I remember like my dad making, you know, we used to make lots of different like lamb shish kebab and goulash and different things. And I would just be like, oh, what's that? And, you know, learning how to make the barbecue sauce that he made and just, you know, bringing that to life and sharing that with my friends and my family now.
I mean, there's nothing better.
Oh, there isn't.
I mean, there's just nothing better. There's just nothing better than a home-cooked meal.
Exactly. And you know, I think a lot of people kind of miss out on that. And even, like you said, take that first step and learn how to make, like you said, a soup. It's very simple. It's very easy to make. It might be intimidating with, you say, all the ingredients and everything on there. But, you know, once you start doing it, you're going to look back and be like, why was I so nervous? What, you know, it's not like anything's going to jump out at me or, you know, you're not going to make it wrong, you know.
Right. You really aren't going to make it wrong. And the best thing about soup is it's the gift that keeps on giving because you make a pot of soup and you eat half and freeze half.
Yes.
You know?
Wait, so you're supposed to freeze it? Because I usually just eat it.
That's if you don't eat the whole pot at once. But I think, I just remember in college, look, I used to make soups a lot. And my roommate and I would eat like the same soup for a week.
Nice.
And then you're like, I never want that soup again. So I like now to make a pot of soup and freeze half of it in portion controlled containers, like 2 cups.
Mm-hmm.
Because then I can, like, for lunch, because I'm like you, I'm like a soup for lunch girl. Mm-hmm. Although I could do it all, you know, all day. But anyway, where I can grab, you know, I can just grab some soup and thaw it out very quickly and have a meal.
And put your polenta croutons on there and have that other stuff on the side where you can just sprinkle it on there after you eat it up.
That's right. That's right. And what I like to do is, if I'm using the same stock, I'll often make 2 soups at once.
Oh, a good idea.
Because once you have your stock made, then you're just basically using 2 pots and sauteing. But the principles of making soup are the same.
Right.
So, and oftentimes, you know, my soup sister and I, we'll both get in the kitchen and make soups together, and then we swap.
Oh.
So it is fun to have friends and family and just kind of have like a little soup-a-thon.
A soup-a-thon,
and
that's awesome.
Walks away with a variety pack of soups.
I really like that, a soup-a-thon. I know what I'll be doing on a long weekend for sure. A soup-a-thon with my friends. So speaking
not to mention that it makes the house smell great.
Oh, yes. Especially like when you leave the house for like a couple minutes and come back, and you're like, oh yeah,
I know,
you know, and we got to talk real quick about your Cancer Fighting Kitchen 2nd edition is coming out, or is it out already?
Can you believe it? So that came out in 2009,
right?
And now the 2nd edition is coming out in January of 2017.
Wow,
it'll be a new year, new you. Book, and it was really, really, and it was just really interesting to be able to work on a book that was, you know, kind of take a book that you wrote 6 years ago, 7 years ago,
right,
and really look at it with a fresh eye to kind of some of the new science that's come up around food and cancer and, mm-hmm. and people's feeling about food now, which is was quite different than when I wrote it. And to be able to tweak it and to make it better. It was really a wonderful project, and I'm looking forward to seeing that book come out into the world and in just an updated fashion.
You know, what's great is you could pre-order it and then get it, know that you're going to get it for Christmas and then get it in the first after the New Year's.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Get a nice book in the mail and kind of like, oh, I kind of forgot about that. Then it's like Christmas all over again.
I know. It's like, isn't that great about books?
Yes. And just like that, Rebecca, our half hour is over. Isn't that crazy?
I know. Well, this, you know, this always happens when I talk with you.
I know. So where can people go for your Cancer Fighting Kitchen online course?
Yes. So go to RebeccaKatz.com, mm-hmm. and there is, you'll see on the front page of the website, on the home page, there's something that says courses. And click on there, and you will see the Cancer Fighting Kitchen course. And we are in the process of developing a soup course.
Yes.
And that will be probably released in the beginning of November. So if anybody's interested in the soup course, you can add your name to the list, and we'll let you know when it's available. And of course, all my books are there. And the other thing on my website is, if anybody is interested in my wisdom about translating the science to the plate, a little bit of science and a little bit of yum, mm-hmm. I have a weekly blog called Connecting the Dots. And there's some video content up there for people who want a little show and tell. And, there's a little something for everybody.
Awesome.
So, RebeccaKatz.com.
RebeccaKatz.com. Well, this was awesome, Rebecca. You know what I'm going to be making. I'm going to have that soup-a-thon soon, for sure.
Yum.
We're gonna enjoy the yum. And if you hang on, I'm going to wrap up like I usually do. This is Mal Majeros. I'm the Cancer Warrior. You can always find me on Facebook because I am a Facebook junkie. Check out my Facebook verified Facebook page, The Cancer Warrior, on EmpowerRadio.com. And as always, life looks pretty good from where I'm sitting. Sending you good vibes. It's The Cancer Warrior on EmpowerRadio.com.